And with us in studio, always good to see James Garcia from Whitesnake County Animal Control. How you doing, brother?
Good. Thank you.
Good. Thanks for coming in from Lorain.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Get you a moment to dry off.
Yeah.
You know, we got a lot of things. I know we had a short conversation last week about Whitesnake County Animal Control, but a couple of other things have come up, and mainly some topics you wanted to talk about was, you've got a lot of animals that need a forever home, as they like to say.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's true, yes. I want to kind of recap, you know, last time I was here about encouraging people to go to our page on Facebook. They can just simply look up Whitesnake County Animal Control, and they'll see our page. And share posts, anytime we get animals that are dropped off or picked up, they're posted to try to find their homes. And then animals that are up for adoption are also on that, on the page as well. I wanted to kind of encourage the listeners, you know, if you're looking for a pet for your family, to please reach out to shelters, rescues, and animal controls first. You know, we really have a kind of a crisis in Illinois right now. Everybody's full. And so we're trying to encourage people to not go to breeders first, to try to go to sources that are really at risk, and those are the ones that are in the animal controls. So please, if you're looking for a pet, reach out to your local animal controls and rescues first.
Why we talk about everything full, I'm going to mention them. That would be like Granny Rose and Happy Tales, even, huh?
Yeah. It's a nationwide.
Wow.
Nationwide issue right now.
Do we know how it got to that level?
It was primarily COVID.
COVID did it.
Yeah, and there was record numbers of adoptions there for a year or two, and then now you're coming to the other end of it, where the state of the union right now, with everything, with costs being up and people going back to work and other situations, now these animals are now being surrendered and ending up in the rescues, shelters, and animal controls.
Before we went on the air, one of the things that we were talking about is maybe a first-time pet owner doesn't understand all the commitments, you know, training and, paper training and, getting them used to a leash, and then all the costs involved.
Yeah, getting a pet it's a really big decision. You know, I've been doing this, it'll be my 17th year, and I've come to learn that a lot of pet purchases seem to me to be more of an impulse purchase. You know, it's a lot of responsibility. They're really cute when they're young, but then there's a lot of work involved, a lot of training involved, responsibility, and cost. Mm. And unfortunately, they get bigger, older, and sometimes life circumstances, and then unfortunately, the animal pays the price.
Right.
And so it's like, got to really put a lot of thought before you get a pet.
Yeah, you mentioned, we were talking also about impulsivity and like around the holidays, like, hey, let's get Bobby and Bonnie a puppy for Christmas.
Unfortunately, in this industry, a lot of animal controls and shelters end up with Christmas dogs. Mm. Yeah, they get them as a purchase in Christmas, and then by April or so, they sometimes end up in the facilities. So we really want to encourage people to take a lot of time, put a lot of thought in not only getting one, but the type of dog you get that will work for your family, your lifestyle, your home, you know, because each breed has their unique qualities, temperaments, energy levels. So you want to make sure before you impulsively get an animal, say based upon how pretty it is or certain physical features, that you want to make sure that the animal itself and the breed type works for the environment that you're putting it in.
Yeah, so if you don't do your homework on a Jack Russell, you're in for a surprise.
Yeah, there's a lot of dogs. Yeah, there's a lot of dogs that are notorious for being stubborn, difficult to train. There are some that are extremely high energy. There are working dogs that they really need to work. They need to, you know, stay busy. And so you can't take a dog who is highly intelligent, needs a lot of work, it wants to do a lot, and then just throw it in a little apartment. You know, you got to make sure that the pet you get will work for the environment that you're in.
It's much like we see on TV, like these, some people that have a lot of money and they got a dog in their purse or they have a lap dog. Is there any real truth to that?
Such as?
Like a lap dog. You know, they say, yeah. it's just a lap dog.
Yeah, it's a thing, you know. Like, they call them those little designer dogs where they breed specific traits, and they're really small. People like to travel. You know, put them in little backpacks.
Yeah.
It's like a little lap dog, a little companion that you can take with you in your car, into places with you. You know, and
yeah, but still, you got to be careful.
Yeah, you definitely have to put a lot of thought into it. Make sure that the dog you're choosing is going to work for your family.
So, I hate to use the term puppy mill because, you know, I don't know of any, but there are some breeders and they're out there. But that's what they do, and they are looking. I don't know how much training they put into what you might be picking up, but they're looking to make a profit.
Yes, yeah, Illinois has really cracked down in the last year or two on the puppy mills. You know, they put a law in place restricting the sourcing of animals to pet shops. Pet shops are now required to get animals from animal controls and rescues. They can no longer get them from breeders.
Right.
And so that was a really good thing. But, you know, there's still people that breed and advertise on Facebook, and, you know, they just are still breeding heavily. And we really just need to encourage people to look at animal controls and rescues and shelters first.
What would your suggestion be? Let's say somebody, you know, finds a stray dog and says, you know what, it's cute, let's keep it. Is that a good idea?
No, they really should. First of all, it could be an owned animal. So the very first thing they should do is take it to like an animal control, because we have the best resources to try to get the animal home. And you don't know the history of the animal. You don't know anything about its temperament, anything about any of its vaccination history, and the breed or any other specifics with the animal. So you really shouldn't just take an animal you have no knowledge of and bring it into the home with your family. I think it's a little risky.
Now, you mentioned one of the words there that's also a topic we were going to discuss, about the vaccination clinic coming up.
Oh, yes. This is something we're really excited about. We started this back in 2018, and I think it's the community seems to really like it. So every year we hold a free rabies vaccine and microchip clinic. We encourage people that may be struggling financially, you know, that can't get their animal in compliance, to come to this clinic every year. And they can come in and get a free rabies shot and free microchipping. And the only thing you have to pay is their registration fee. So it's a way to kind of help out, try to make sure that everybody's getting their animals vaccinated.
How often is rabies vaccination required?
Well, they have a couple options when they go to the vet. They can do a one-year shot, a one-year tag, or a three-year shot with a three-year tag.
Wow.
So that's nice. If you don't want to go every year, you can get the three-year option.
And your clinic is coming up when?
I think this year it's going to be in June.
Okay.
So I just encourage people to kind of follow on our page. We're still getting the details hammered out right now, but it looks like it could possibly be June this year.
Okay. Once again, we're visiting with James Garcia from Whiteside County Animal Control. You brought up microchipping. How important do you think that is?
Oh, it's extremely important. Yeah, it's a good way to make sure, to prove ownership to begin with, and to track your animal down in the event that it gets away from you or stolen.
Right. And, you know, you've heard so many times where, you know, somebody goes on vacation or they're in another state and all of a sudden the dog has disappeared. And then in that state, and they say, well, we can't stay here forever. We'll just hope, you know, it'll get picked up. And somebody will scan it and go, oh, look, there's the owner. And find ways to reconnect the pet with the owner.
Yeah, you see a lot of stories where animals somehow make their way across the country. A lot of times, you know, people, a lot of times they'll see an animal and they'll pick it up and just take it with them.
Right.
And then sometimes it ends up in other states, gets away from the person that has it and ends up in a shelter, and then it's scanned and it finally makes its way back to its owner.
Wow. Yeah, so, and is for the microchipping, is there a price involved with that?
For our clinic, no.
Okay.
But normally it's $25 you can call in and schedule if you'd like to have your, it's $25 to get it chipped.
Yeah, and it's nothing that hurts the pet at all?
No, it's fairly simple.
Right.
Yeah. It just goes right under the skin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They hardly know what's happening.
Yeah, no. Most cases, no.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea because.
I do too.
You never know. No, and if you're unfamiliar with the process, you know, either go online, or the best thing to do is contact James or any of his reliable staff.
Yep.
And find out more about microchipping. Now, somebody could get that done there any time of the year?
Yes.
Okay.
Anytime. Wow. Yep, that's also a service veterinarians provide too. So your veterinarian would be able to microchip your pet for you, and whatever their cost is, but they do offer that service as well.
Okay, we've talked about a lot here. Why don't we talk about licensing, not only for dogs, but isn't there a cat regulation that came out a couple of years ago as well?
Yeah, we actually started it a year prior to it going on the state level. But yeah, it did. You have the same requirements for a cat as a dog. You have to have that yearly vaccination and registration.
And then I know dogs usually get the, you know, the tag on their mm-hmm. collars. Yes. Is there something that cats
same tag?
Or is it just paperwork?
Exact same tag as the dogs. They get the exact same tag.
Of course, and I suspect that is almost impossible to enforce.
Very difficult too. There, you know, you get a constant flow of animals. Animals change hands a lot. People move in and out of the county. You know, so there's always a flow of animals in, animals out. And as soon as animals pass away, owners tend to get new animals.
Right.
So it's a constant flow.
Right, right. So, let's refresh on about how many, well, you have both cats and dogs, but about how many animals do you have your current shelter?
In our facility right now?
Yeah.
The last I checked yesterday, we might have in the ballpark of 22 or 3 right now, which is actually pretty manageable good right now.
Right.
You know, usually we hover around the 50, 60 area.
Right.
So right now we're looking pretty good.
Oh, wow.
Which is good. This is, you know, we'll evaluate this week, but I think this is one of the better weeks that we don't have quite as many.
Right. Now, let's say somebody, brings their dog in and is going to relinquish ownership, or you pick one up. How do you check the demeanor to make sure that it's going to be able to go back, you know, out to a family or a person?
We tend to hold animals for a while. Mm. If it comes in as known owner, we hold it for a while, obviously, to give time for an owner to come forward.
Sure.
But after a 10-day hold, we start evaluating the animal, you know, because they're interacted with every day.
Right.
With feeding and watering and just some of the attention that the staff go back there. So we have a long, you know, quite a bit of time to evaluate temperament and demeanor.
Right.
And then once an animal's, you know, deemed that it looks like it's a good candidate, you know, we check how it is with other animals and how it is interacts with the staff.
Sure.
And then we post it up on our page, and then hopefully people will go to our page, see interest, and come in and meet the pet and do an interaction with it to see if it's something they're interested in. And if it is, then if they have a pet, they can bring their pet back to see the interaction between, you know, their pets, and go through the process, and then hopefully they end up with a new pet.
Well, you read my mind on that one. I was like, well, what if somebody already has a dog? It's like, let's get another one, you know.
Sometimes they have more than one pet, so they have to come back several times to bring all their pets to make sure that there's a good connection between them and there's no issues.
Wow.
So, and sometimes it works out, sometimes it don't. You don't really know until you get them into the new environment, and sometimes it doesn't quite work out, and they come back, and then we give it another try with somebody else. But most of the time, it's pretty successful.
So what were the beginnings that led you to a career of animal control, James?
That is a good question. That was one of those very strange just life events. It just kind of throws you. It was nothing planned. It just sort of happened. Never thought I'd end up there, but it's just something that happened, and I've grown to love it, and the staff are amazing, and everybody at the health department is just amazing.
Right.
And so it's just something that sort of worked out.
So did you grow up with pets?
No. Ironically, I didn't have a lot of pets growing up.
Wow.
Yeah. I do have a little kitten. I do have a cat, but I've never really had a lot of pets. But I like interacting with animals, but I've never really, for some reason, probably because I didn't grow up around a lot of pets.
Right.
You tend to see the people that pass on the pet ownership thing because they've always grown up with pets. But I didn't grow up with a lot of pets. But
now you can't have a lot of pets.
I sort of get my daily fix.
Right.
We have various cats and dogs that'll come in and out through our office that kind of hang out with us. So I get my pet fix every day.
Right. Yeah, they hang out with you. Do you get a sort of an attachment? Maybe hate to see them go, or are you happy for them?
Well, sometimes, we're happy for them. Sometimes we have an office cat right now that kind of hangs out in our office, and we've kind of grown attached to. And, you know, there for quite a while, we had a pet office dog. Mm-hmm. I don't know, a lot of people remember Big Boy. He was a St. Bernard.
Wow.
Yeah, we had him in our office for many, many years as an office pet. Mm. And so that's a good way for us to get a pet fix, too.
All right. So you occasionally have a mascot for a couple of years.
He was old, but he was with us for, I bet you, about 8-9 years.
Wow.
Yeah. And then we've had various cats as office pets. So, wow. Yeah, it's kind of nice. You get your little fix.
Just amazing.
Yeah.
So, okay, weather's going to be getting nicer, and I hate to say it, but the possibility is there you might be getting busier.
We will. Yeah. It's unfortunately, that's just kind of what happens. Right. You know, so we kind of encourage people that, you know, as the weather gets nicer, just be aware of that cabin fever, and pets are just going to, everybody gets out in their yard, and they start working and cleaning up the yard, and weather gets nice, and these animals get out, and they get that freedom and that fresh air, and they're gone.
So, as you mentioned, just about every adoptable is posted on your Facebook. Mm-hmm. And yep. But if somebody has a little bit more interest, it's like, let's go see that one. What's ours and best thing to do? And do they need an appointment?
Yes, they do need an appointment. But they can call our office Monday through Friday. The phones start ringing at 8 o'clock. It's open to the public starting at 9 o'clock, and we're there till 5 o'clock. So they're more than welcome to call in anytime and, you know, share which pet they're interested in and then set up a time they'd like to come in and meet the pet.
You know, when you look at it on the map, Whiteside County is not small. It's spread out, and you've probably been in every corner of it.
Yes, about 700 square miles for this county. It's about the average size of most of the counties.
Right.
Yeah, it's a pretty good area.
And you've probably been north, south, east, and west, and everything in the middle.
I think I've hit almost probably every road. Yeah, every road in the county, you know.
A lot of miles.
Yeah, there's a lot of miles,
A lot of miles. Well, James, always good to hear from you. And, again, check out the Whiteside County Animal Control Facebook page. See if there's anything there you like. And keep up with what's going on. And certainly appreciate your work and what your staff does, James.
Yeah, thank you so much for